Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
All right, who's got Luke chapter 2? You ready for it?
Yep.
Lisa, it's nice having you in the service today. Lisa's always upstairs with the kids, doing a great job, but she's here with us today. My brother Simon, how you doing, mate? That guy's always got his Bible on him, reading it. I was just saying to him before, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. He loves the word. We all love the word. Where would we be without the word? So we're going to go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 20. It'll come up on the screen, but go to it in your Bibles. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. See, there'd been prophecies about God's one and only son coming through David, coming through Bethlehem, and the Lord just made sure there was a census that would get Joseph and Mary out of Nazareth so they could be in Bethlehem at the right time. Verse 6. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. This morning, we were questioning, why was there no room for them in the inn? A few different theories. But I actually read earlier this morning that it was because, or it could be because there was a census. So people had to go back to, everyone had to go to their homes because, you know, they didn't actually, could not have their homes there anymore because they were all just coming to visit for the census. They were all jumping in through Airbnb into all these inns. And so now Joseph and Mary rock up, they're trying to find space. They couldn't because the place was packed. Talk to Michael. He's got some other reasons too he can give you later. So there was no room in the inn. And it says, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field. We sang about it today, didn't we? The shepherds in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Just imagine those shepherds, bored out of their brains, just, you know, with the sheep. Next thing, an angel appears, and the glory of the Lord just hits them. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of what? Great joy. That will be for who? For all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Imagine the angels. It's not just one, a whole host just joins in and starts to praise the Lord. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. You are too quick for me, Tim. I'm not there yet. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. Verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Amen. The shepherds hear about this news. They're excited. They praise. They worship. Then they go see what the angel was talking about. They tell people what they'd been told by the angel, that this is going to be the Savior, that this is going to be the Christ, that this is for all people. But the people around that space where they were visiting Jesus, they didn't get as excited as the shepherds had got excited. It said they just pondered. They just pondered about it. They were actually wondering. They didn't really receive it. It says, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. What would the shepherds have told them? They just wondered about it. How many people do you know that hear the gospel, hear the truth, but maybe they just ponder about it? They don't actually receive it. Christmas, you go to carols here, there, everywhere. Songs are sung. The good news is spread in different ways. But not everyone receives it. They just pondered. But Mary actually really pondered in her heart. She just didn't wonder. She just kept these things in her heart. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we know about you. We thank you that you reveal yourself to us. We thank you that you speak through nature. You speak through your word. You speak through people. And Lord, we pray that today for everyone in this room, that we'll hear your word afresh, we'll hear the good news afresh, and that we'll continue to be vessels of your love and your good news wherever we go. Speak to us this morning. Challenge us, Lord God. May your word, your gospel, challenge how we live, how we act, how we move, how we love. Transform us with your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Have you guys ever received the same gift at Christmas time? Maybe you got it last year. You unwrap, you're like, oh, that's the same thing I got last time. Hey, oh man. Or you get a gift from someone else in the same week and like, you unwrap it and, oh, that's the same thing. Are you going to be that bad that you just throw it? Every Christmas, we talk about the same gift. We receive the same gift in Jesus Christ. What do we do with it? What do people do with this gift? Jesus, the gift that was promised. Jesus, the gift that is always available. Jesus is not limited. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but there's so much to him. He is not limited. He's the gift that keeps on giving. On this first Christmas that we read about in Luke 2, the shepherds heard the great news of a gift, one they had waited for. The shepherds hear from the angel, "Fear not, but behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all people." Good news of great joy that will be for all people. What is this good news for all people? It was and is joy. It was about joy. I want to ask you today, have you received it? Have you received it? Have you used it? J-O-Y, simple word. But have you received it? Have you used it? See, joy was part of the promise. Jesus was promised. The Messiah was promised. Christ was promised to the Jewish people, to the chosen people, to the Israelites. But he was promised to all the world. Right from the beginning, God said to Abraham, "I will bless you. I will make you into a great nation, and through your nation, I will bless all nations. And the covenant continued through David. And it was that there was to be a savior who would come, and he would be for all the people. So joy was part of that promise. Salvation was that promise. Jesus is that promise. But out of that promise comes joy. Joy, joy, joy. What was the good news? It says the good news was of great joy. Joy wasn't the news. Joy wasn't the news. The good news was of great joy. This guy brought news, this angel, but he didn't bring joy. He brought news of great joy that would be for all the people. He brought news of great joy. The news was that Jesus is born in the city. The good news was that a savior is born in the city of David. And that he is Christ the Lord. So how would they actually get joy from this news? How would they get it? They would have to believe it. Sounds simple, doesn't it? To get joy from the good news, they would actually have to believe it. To actually take the good news in. To receive a revelation from God himself by the Holy Spirit that Jesus is the Messiah that was promised. They would have to take the news in. The gospel, the word, that he is Christ, that he is Lord, that he is Savior. When you take that in, that is actually a seed. It's a seed that produces joy. That's what the gospel does. That's where joy comes from. It comes from that good news as a seed that produces joy. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5, verse 22, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, kindness, goodness, gentleness, godliness, faithfulness, self-control, whatever I missed out on. Peace. I got peace. Do you have peace? So that's the fruit of the Spirit. So joy comes by the Holy Spirit. Joy was part of the promise. Jesus came by the Holy Spirit. It says that the virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit came upon Jesus as a dove when he got baptized. That same Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That same Holy Spirit brought him out, and he came out in power, and he started his ministry, started to perform miracles, started to show compassion, started to heal people by the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit rose him from the dead. That same Holy Spirit was made available to everyone, for all people, at Pentecost. That's the Holy Spirit that Jesus said to them, wait in the city until I clothe you with power from on high. Joy is a part of that. John 7, 37 to 39. If you have your Bibles, just come with me to John 7, 39 for a few moments. It says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Joy is part of that. What flows out? Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It says, now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. See, joy. Joy. Come on, who needs joy today? Have you received it? Have you used it? Joy is something that's got to be deep down in your heart. Joy is not something I can manufacture. I know I had a bit of a chocolate coin over there before. I ate a little bit. It's giving me a bit more energy. So that could be part of this. But you can't manufacture joy. Joy comes by the Holy Spirit. Jake was singing it before. Joy. We used to sing it growing up. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy. You know it, down in my heart. Down in my heart. To do what? To stay. And then it goes, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my. And I'm so, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. It's got to be deep. It's got to be down there. Seriously. You know, we used to sing, I've got the peace deep down in my heart that surpasses all understanding. You can't manufacture it. It comes from the Lord. But you know what else we used to sing? We used to sing, I've got the, don't know what you call it, but the devil doesn't like it down in my heart. So it goes like this. I've got the, don't know what you call it, but the devil doesn't like it down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the, don't know what you call it, but the devil doesn't like it down in my heart. Down in my heart. Anyone got some joy? Come on. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my, in your heart. You've got it in your heart. See, joy is rejoicing. Joy is gladness. Joy is happiness. But there's a difference between joy and being happy. Happy is about circumstance. But joy is not about your circumstance. Joy is about who He is. It's about what He's done. It's about what He's able to do. That's what joy is all about. And this is what we have. This is what came on Christmas Day, was made available. It is a feeling of great pleasure. But it's more than a feeling. It's more of a state of being than it is a feeling. Yes, it is an emotion, but it's an emotion that will come through the depth of your soul because of what the Holy Spirit is doing in you. A preacher, pastor, author, John Piper defines joy like this. He says, it's a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as He causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. A good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as He causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. The beauty of Christ is in the Word. The beauty of Christ is in the world as dark as it is. The beauty of Christ is in His works in the world. So joy was part of the promise. Have you received it? Joy, how do you receive it? Joy comes by grace. What is grace? Grace is getting something you don't deserve. None of us deserve the joy. But because of what Jesus did, because of God's sacrifice, we are able to have joy by His grace. In the Old Testament, joy is closely related to victory over one's enemy. When there's victory over an enemy in the Old Testament, you will see the words joy. Like in 1 Samuel 18, verse 6. 1 Samuel 18, 6 says, as they were coming home when David returned from striking down the Philistine, the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with songs of joy, and with musical instruments. In the Old Testament, you see it say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You see talk about sing shouts of joy. In the New Testament, joy is associated with victory, focusing more on salvation. You know, we've been reading Luke 15 a bit over the last few weeks. And in Luke 15, where it talks about the lost son, the lost coin, the lost parable, not the lost parable, but the lost sheep. in 15 verse 7, it says that there is more joy, that word again, there is more joy in heaven when one person comes to the Lord, when one person repents. Heaven stops and rejoices. This is what joy is all about in the New Testament, in the church today. It comes as you see people get saved. It comes from your salvation. Restore to me the joy of my salvation, David prayed and sang and said. Joy comes by grace. We talk about victory in salvation, victory with our enemies. Where did David's victory come from? Where does salvation come from? It's all by grace. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, not by your works, so that you don't boast in your own works, but that you boast in Him." So it's all by grace. Having joy is part and parcel of being a child of God. Do we have any children of God in the house this morning? Having joy is part and parcel of being a Christian. Joy comes from what He has done and who He is, not what we have done or what we can do or circumstance. It comes from what He has done and who He is. Do you have joy this morning? Are you joyful? I'm just so joyful right now. I just can't help it. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore Thee. I'm just going to try to join the worship team because they're saying I'm singing too much when I'm preaching and I'm supposed to be preaching. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore Thee, and in my life I'll put none before Thee. Do you guys know that song, Sister Act? Man, if you want some joy this Christmas, just go watch Sister Act 2, whatever it is, or just look up some joyful, joyful. There's just joy is available. Are you a joyful person? Or are you a grumpy person? Do people actually get lifted up when they come across you? Now, for real, when you walk into a room, when you walked in here this morning, where people are like, ah, there he is. We're like, oh man, no, I don't want to talk. They're just going to be complaining or they're having a bad day. These are all real things and we can feel all the feels, but you can be real with people and still have joy. Do you lift people up? Do you refresh people? Are you carrying joy? Because if you're carrying the Holy Spirit, if you've said yes to Jesus, the only way you can say yes to Him is by the Holy Spirit. And then He comes into your heart even more by the Holy Spirit, fills you with the Spirit, and what comes out is the fruit. Love, joy, peace, kindness. Do you lift people up or do you put people down? Are people left worse or the same after they encounter you? Your joy should refresh and lift people up. So joy was part of the promise. Joy comes by grace. But it says it's for everyone. Joy is not just for you. Don't just keep your joy to yourself. It's for all people. Fear not, the angel said, for behold, I have good news of great joy for all people. Joy is for everyone. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, everyone, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have eternal life. It's for everyone. Jesus saves. Jesus will save. Jesus saves us from our sin, from the punishment of death. Jesus saves us from eternal separation with God. Jesus saves you from eternity in hell. We've got to receive the good news, but not just receive it, but actually let it bear fruit through how you live, through how you walk, and let your life be a walking testimony. And part of that is joy. It is for everyone. Have you received it? Are you using joy? See, when you get a gift, you've got to do something with it. You can't just put it over there, pull it out whenever you need it. This gift we're talking about, joy, is there all the time. It is to be used. It is to be made use of. Have you used it? What comes in the way of joy? Hey, what comes in the way of us having joy? Anyone ever had any problems? They come in the way of joy. You want me to have joy? Did you know what I'm going through, brother? I came to church for crying out loud. Now you want to convict me? That's not conviction. You're condemning me. These are the thoughts that go through my mind sometimes about joy. You don't know what problems are going through. You don't know what disappointment I'm going through. Those things can steal your joy. They really can. Do you know people? I love people, but people can steal your joy. But you don't have to let them steal your joy. If it's really joy from the Lord, nothing should shake it. Nothing should shake that joy. The enemy will try to steal it. The enemy will try to shake it. But actually nothing. Because what is it based on? It's based on him and him alone. It's not based on what someone's done to you or is going to do to you. It's based on the fact that you know he loves you. You know that he died for you. You know that he is with you. He is Emmanuel. So just, what has stolen your joy recently? Is it more powerful than God? How can you let that? How can I let that steal my joy? See, we need joy the most in trials. In trials, in tough times, when the problems come, when the disappointment come, when the delays come, that's actually when you need joy. So have you used it? See, joy is not just about joy. It's not just about smiling. It's not just about being loud. He's so joyful, that Pastor Steve, you should have seen him. Oh, he thinks church is comedy. No, it's not just that. Joy is actually a sense of it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And I will boast in him and him alone. Is it well with your soul? Who do you boast in, yourself or in him? You need joy the most through trials. Christmas time can be a very trying time. All the shopping, all the people you have to see that you don't need to see or want to see. You do need to see them because they're family. The work parties where you got to be with people that you don't like. Whatever trials you're going through, health, relationships, finance. In the book of James, we're told that we are to consider it pure. All. It says, consider it pure joy. Another version says, consider it all joy when trials come your way. I'm like, James, you for real? I'm not going to name my son James after that. But then when I hear what it does, it says that the trials actually bring perseverance, maturity, and you will lack nothing. I'm like, Lord, I will name my son James. So consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of many kinds. Because this is how we grow. This is how we become mature in God. I don't know what you may be going through that might be stealing your joy, trying to take your joy. But Psalm 30, verse 5 says, for his anger is but for a moment. And his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night. Weeping may go on. It may continue for the night. But guess what's coming? The morning's coming. Every morning, Lord, thank you for joy. It says, but joy comes in the morning. Joy is for everyone. Joy was part of the promise. Joy comes by grace. There's so much chaos in life. There can be. There's so many options, so much resource. There's so many things at our disposal today that actually overshadow joy, that we forget what we have in us. But joy is actually a choice. You can't manufacture it, but you need to make a choice and actually tap into it. Because if you said yes to Jesus, you have it in you. The world wants joy. Everyone wants joy. But real joy can only come and has only come through Jesus Christ's birth, through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection, and us saying yes to him. But daily, you've got to activate it. Hey, activate. Activate the joy. Activate the joy. When's the last time you had to activate joy? Because it just wasn't flowing for you. It just wasn't coming naturally for you. When people see you, do they realize there's something about you? They don't even know it's a joy. They don't know what to call it. They're like, what juice are you on, man? What juice are you on? What are you smoking? What are you having? You're like, it's not juice. It's not smoking. It's no substance. It's Jesus. I heard that one. It's for everyone, but we have to make the choice to tap into joy. Last week, we talked about it's yours. It's yours. The joy is yours. God gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross so that we could live in freedom. We could live in peace. We could live in love. So you got to tap into it. There's more of it. God is not limited. We go through stuff, but it's never that big that the Lord can't give you joy, that you can't tap into the joy. What happens with trials for me is that the current trial will be so much bigger than the last trial. I need to rely on the Lord more. I'm like, Lord, I thought we sorted this out. I trust you. I've got joy in you, but why am I struggling more again? I just got to tap more into him. Jesus says, I will give you and I give my Holy Spirit without measure. He is not limited. Have you used joy? Have you used that gift, that fruit? Joy, joy, joy. He's put it into you. It has no expiry date. When you're feeling down, I had a moment this week when I was feeling down. I was thinking, man, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. It's been a massive year. I was just feeling overwhelmed. I'm like, but it's just, Lord, what is this that's stressing me out? Oh, man, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I'm thinking of these few things. But those things come and go. I stress about them. But one of those things is already done. But I was so overwhelmed on Tuesday morning thinking about it. It just felt like, oh, this is so hard. But as I was just talking to the Lord about it, see, that's one of the keys. Talk to him about it. You feel overwhelmed. Just take a chill. You don't have to take a pill. Just take a chill. That just came out. I'm not making fun of medicine. We all need medicine, but I'm just saying, you just need to actually pause and say, Lord, this is actually what I'm struggling with. This is what's making me anxious. This is what I'm stressing about. Just give it to him. David would do that all through the Psalms. If you need to yell at the Lord, guess what? Go for it. He can take it. He might tell you what he thinks after that, but he can take it. So bring your cares to him. Don't try to do it by yourself. What I realize in those moments as I'm talking to him, like, well, I'm stressing about this because I'm trying to do it myself. I'm putting it on myself. I'm putting the pressure on myself. But as I tell him, Lord, this is what I'm stressing about. And then a thought comes, give thanks. What am I thankful for? Oh, Lord, thank you for my wife. Thank you that all the stuff that I'm actually stressing about, she's organized those meals we have to make for Christmas. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to worry about that anymore. And I think about the different things I want to thank him for. As I'm thanking him, joy starts to rise up. Because I'm talking to the source of joy. I'm talking to the creator. I'm starting to see the problems through his eyes, not my eyes, and seeing that I'm limited. I need him and I need others. Joy starts to rise up. I'm thanking him. And then I feel lighter. And joy starts to rise up. And strength comes. Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy. You want strength? Tap into joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not your joy. It's his joy. But he is so kind and loving that he wants to give you his joy to be your joy. For you and I to have joy, we have to get it from him. Where is your strength found? Your strength is to be found in him, not in yourself. It's to be found in his joy, not in your own joy. So let his joy be your joy. Jesus prayed this prayer not long before he was to be crucified. It's called the highly priestly prayer. Maybe the high priestly prayer. John 17. Some call this one the Lord's Prayer. Because this is actually him praying. The Lord's Prayer that we know was him teaching us how to pray. But he has this massive prayer in John 17. And part of that prayer he says to God, but now I'm coming to you. And these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy. Amen. Jesus says, I speak these things so that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus wanted you and I to have his joy. Have you received it? Have you used it? And once you've used it, it's not done. There is more. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews talks about fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He says, Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Who for the joy set before him? He had joy in going to the cross, in dying for you and I. We talk about joy. This is joy. It's not just a happy clappy. But he actually had joy in that you and I and all of the world could be saved. That was his joy. And you know, part of God's heart, part of God's will for you and I is in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 to 19. Do you know what it says? 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 to 19, it says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Not just for some circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Joy is a choice. And you got to tap into it. If the worship team could come and join me. So today, I want to ask you, have you received it? Have you used it? Will you today on the 22nd of December, 2024, will you choose joy? Will you be a carrier and dispenser of joy? When you go home today and you see your kids who didn't want to come to church today, Will you choose joy? When you call your long lost uncle because you're fighting about who's bringing the turkey and who's not, will you choose joy? Will you be a carrier and dispenser of joy? See, we can carry joy, but actually not dispense it, not distribute it in what we say. We can just keep joy at church, joy in our rooms, joy in our cars. But remember, it's for everyone. Can we stand? Will people actually know you for the joy you carry? What will they call it? Will you tell them that it's Jesus? Are you full of the Holy Spirit today? See, we can all be filled with the Spirit. It's not just a one-time thing. We can be filled continually day by day. He can fill you right now. Let's ask Him to come.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.